Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Oh, yes, indeed. We are back from Detroit Rock City, baby, Motown, with a berth in the NFC Championship game. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard on this January the 20th, 2025. Now, there's a lot going on in just our little city here. There's a lot going on. First of all, Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, that is always a remembrance and a joyous celebration of the life and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And then there's the Washington Commanders, right? There's nothing else going on, I don't think. Last time I checked the calendar, there's nothing else going on besides the Washington Commanders are going to the freaking NFC Championship game, baby! That's right. That's right.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm sure about that. I'm positive. I checked my calendar. It says Washington and Philadelphia.
Woo!
Heading up to filthy on what's going to be a frigid, frigid Sunday from the early forecast. Woo, baby.
And I may be taking crazy pills.
You are. You put a pitchfork in them the day after Thanksgiving. I did not. Now, I pick against them to lose by 3 points in each of the two playoff games, and boy, have I been wrong. But you, my friend, put a pitchfork in them. And instead, the only pitchfork we should be using is to, like, I don't know, stab at a big old giant steak. Maybe a Philly cheesesteak?
I will say, a little bit of fun story behind yesterday. With my family and my sister's husband being a big Eagles fan, and them being out in L.A., he texted me. He was like, hey, do you want me to get you a cheesesteak for next week? And, of course, at that point, the game wasn't over, so I was able to say, oh, is that because I'll be out in L.A. next week?
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but we are not going to Los Angeles. And for that, selfishly, I am thrilled. Now, you can make the argument that they got the harder matchup, and we will get through it, and we will talk about it, and we will have coverage all week long. I got lots of friends in Philadelphia, so we'll bring them. Y'all saw, in all likelihood, through the snow, through the blizzard yesterday, a lot of, if not all of, the NFC divisional playoff game between the Philadelphia Eagles and, of course, the Los Angeles Rams. However, this show, obviously, is largely going to be about what we all got to witness on Saturday night, baby. And that was an absolute beatdown. Once really the second quarter began, and you you know, listen, there were times where it tightened up. I shouldn't say it was a beatdown from the second quarter on. It wasn't. I'm overstating that. It was 31-28 Washington with 6:57 left to go in the third quarter. And then, like they did all night long, they just kept answering and answering and answering and answering and answering yet again. And I still can't believe that, you know, like everybody thought going to Tampa and winning a road playoff game was the crowning of Jaden Daniels and was the best thing that we've ever seen or the best thing that we've seen around here in 33 years. And it was pretty damn cool. I don't know how you could not consider what they did on Saturday night to not only be 10 times more impressive, but maybe on par with some of their Super Bowl victories. And yes, I understand winning a Super Bowl and winning a divisional playoff game on the road is different. I understand that. I understand that they have not won a Super Bowl yet in this season or under this regime and with this quarterback. I got it. But you know what I'm saying, right? Don't tell me you didn't think as they were racking up 28 points in the second quarter. Don't tell me you didn't think about Super Bowl 22. Right? Don't tell me you didn't think about Doug Williams, who was in attendance, who I talked to, who I ran into several times, who was an honorary team captain. Don't tell me you didn't think of the 35-point second quarter that he put up in San Diego against the Denver Broncos. Don't tell me you didn't think about that, because I sure as hell did. As Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, not Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders team, offense, defense, special teams, every which way, put up 28 points in the second quarter. That's right. It was 7-3 Detroit at the end of one. 7-3 Detroit. And many of you know by now, back and forth they went, and culminating with a Zach Ertz 5-yard touchdown pass, and then an interception by Mikey Sanristil in the end zone to basically end the first half. It was 31-21 at the end of the first half. So do it with me, boys and girls. The math works out like this. 28 points in the second quarter, right? And Doug Williams and the Redskins scored what, 35 points? In the second quarter of that Super Bowl. So it wasn't quite that. Maybe it was more on par with what Robert Griffin III, Santana Moss, who we had on Saturday, and the Redskins did on Thanksgiving Day in Dallas in 2012. But you get the point. There are some times where you get magical, magical moments. There are times where you get magical quarters, halves, whatever. I can't necessarily call it a magical half. But I would say this, it was certainly a beyond magical second quarter, and it was a darn good first half. And then, just when you started to think it was slipping away and slipping away and slipping away, after a terrible, and I mean awful, 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 awful whiff by NFL officiating as usual on a alleged Dante Fowler personal foul face mask, which I was so worried about all week long that they were going to get hosed on a bad officiating call, and that's all we were going to talk about, right? And they almost did. Dante Fowler did not, under any circumstances, I had to tell him in the locker room and confirm for him that he did not. You'll hear my interview with him coming up later on in the show. I had to tell him, man, you didn't do anything wrong, because he was operating and answering my questions like he actually did, and he had to overcome that. But he actually didn't. And it spurred a Jahmyr Gibbs 8-yard touchdown run about halfway through the third quarter and made it 31-28. And I thought, oh my gosh, if they turn around and lose this game, which was very possible in the moment, we will all be looking back upon that with absolute fury. You know, the Capitals unleashed the fury. We will be looking upon that as unleashing the fury. And yet, what did they do? They came right back. Once again, the Washington Commanders said, okay, all right. You want to score a touchdown? You want to make it 31-28? Fine. That's okay. We'll just come back and we'll score another touchdown. Because that's what they did. So while they only got, one possession in the third quarter, they strung together a 15-play, 52-yard, 18 yards worth of penalties, so it was a total of 70 yards because they got first and goal at the Detroit 1 due to a defensive pass interference, and then they score the touchdown, right? And they answer right back. And not only do they answer right back, but again, they answer, they get a touchdown, some of it because of Detroit's penalty, yes. They get another touchdown from Brian Robinson at that point. That was two. More to come from the natural running game in a sec. They go 15 plays, 70 yards, 8 minutes and 28 seconds after the Gibbs 8-yard touchdown. That should have never happened because it came on a third down and two, negative 4-yard run stop. Again, the penalty never happened. That is clear. The video showed that. But they, instead of folding like a cheap suit, when they easily could have, they scored again and made it 38-28 and killed clock and broke the back of the Detroit Lions. And it was at that point, up 38-28 with 13 and a half minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, that Lions fans actually started to trickle out of Ford Field. I saw them. And then it made, then it got worse for them because Jeremy McNichols capped off the scoring for Washington with a 1-yard touchdown run later, midway through the third quarter, a little bit past midway point, fourth quarter, with a 1-yard touchdown run after another Detroit Lion penalty, which cost them a touchdown. And what I mean by that is, well, let's just say the Commanders were going for it on fourth and I think it was fourth and two from about their 5-yard line. And the Lions had 12 men on the field. And I could see down in front of us, me and Felix Trammell, who is part of the media contention for the Commanders and has been around as a smart football guy. We both saw the Lions coaching staff going bonkers. And we both saw a lot of confusion because it was right down in front of us. Now, I didn't know at that moment when I saw them going bonkers on the sideline and the Lions players were switching and screaming and whatever, that there was 12 men because I hadn't counted yet. But that's what it was. And it sets up the second McNichols touchdown. And the Washington Commanders scored their 45th point via Zane Gonzalez extra point. And the route was on. And even though they allowed a touchdown from that point, it never obviously got really close. I should say they allowed a field goal from that point on. And that was an interesting sequence as well. Washington kind of bowed a little bit, right? And forced a field goal on a 10-play drive. And Dan Campbell chose to go down 14 with 5 minutes left to go in the game. All three timeouts and still the 2-minute warning. And then stupidly, and I mean stupidly, and I called it immediately when he decided to go for the onside kick. And remember, they have to declare. So we all know it's coming, right? And you can only be the trailing team. They had to declare, what have you. When he declares for an onside kick, even before the Commanders recover it, that might have been one of the dumbest coaching decisions I've ever seen. And if he was taking the blame for that in his post-game presser that everybody's making a big deal out of, if he was taking the blame for that, then fine, he should have. That was his fault. That was a dumb decision. 5 minutes left to go, all three timeouts, the 2-minute warning, an eternity with your offense, and you go for an onside kick and give it up to the Washington Commanders. Now, maybe they would have still won, and maybe they wouldn't have scored 14 points or 7 points or any points. But that was about as dumb of a decision as you can possibly get, considering 5 minutes left in the game and considering essentially 4 timeouts. That was as dumb as you get. And yet the Commanders took the dumb luck and created another interception, another turnover, that one by Jeremy Chinn late with 30 seconds left to go on a 3rd and 10 from the Washington 17. So again, Detroit was in position to at least score one more touchdown. And they throw an interception right around the goal line. Jeremy Chinn picks it off, game over, and it's on to the NFC Championship game for the Washington Commanders. Now, listen, there's a lot that I just kind of overlooked and kind of didn't exactly go through. We will go through it throughout the show, clearly. I have all sorts of notes. I'm still trying to pick through all the tape. So, I don't have notes on everything yet, but between my memory of being there at Ford Field and between what I've seen and what I've been able to slowly watch back and retake notes on, there's a lot of nitty gritty to this game, even though it doesn't seem like there's a lot of nitty gritty in a 14-point margin, right? There is. In every game of this magnitude, there is a lot of nuance. We talk about nuance and context all the time. And there was certainly a lot of it on Saturday night. But this is a show for you guys. This isn't a show for me. This is a show for you, the loyal, diehard, nonstop, believing, beaten down for so many years, Washington Redskin, Washington football team, Washington Commanders fan. This is a show about you. I'm going to have time to get into the nuance and the nitty-gritty throughout the show, throughout the week, and leading up to the NFC Championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles, and we're going to do our very best. Today is about you. Today is a day for you to pump your chest, beat your chest, I should say. Not pump your chest. You don't want to do that. Beat your chest. Pat yourself on the back. Tell me how wrong I was for doubting and believing or not believing that the Commanders could win this game. And I had them losing by 3. I did have them covering. That was easy. I knew that. I had no doubt about that. But I can't lie to you and tell you I thought they were going to win this game. And neither did a lot of people. Not everybody, but a lot of people. Did I give them a chance? Of course I gave them a chance. Everyone gave them a chance. Everyone should have given them a chance. We talked all week about how Detroit and one seeds can and have been beaten. Most recently in 2022 when both one seeds were eliminated in the divisional round before winning a game. We talked all week about that. The numbers were somewhat in Washington's favor. Yet they did the unthinkable. And I'm not going to run from the fact that I was wrong. I'll raise my left hand, I'll raise my right hand, just like I did last Monday in this time slot. And I don't apologize. I was wrong. I was wrong on crowd noise being a major factor. I was wrong on Brandon Coleman struggling. I was wrong on Jahmyr Gibbs killing them on screens, although he had one big one that hurt them. I was wrong on a lot of that stuff. I mean, I will say I was right on a lot of things, too. But again, this is not about me. This is about you. This is a celebration for you, a chance to shine on this Martin Luther King holiday. Many of you have the day off. There's nothing else going on, guys. There's nothing else going on. It is time to talk Washington Commanders football. It is time to talk about what you saw, either in Detroit or on your television on Saturday night. It is time to talk about your football team going to the NFC Championship. The NFC bleeping championship right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We're with you until 4 o'clock, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Coming up, you will hear my post-game chats with, well, Josh Harris I think you know who he is. As well, Dante Fowler, Austin Eckler, and Jonathan Allen. Plus, Jay Gruden live at 3 o'clock. And your phone calls next, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Woo!
All right, everybody, it is still a Motown Monday. That's right, just an NFC divisional playoff win in Detroit in Motown. Motown Monday, that's right. We told you we had a plan. We're executing the plan, just like Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and the Washington Commanders offense and the defense did on Saturday night. We're going to get right out to you in just a moment. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I see y'all. We'll get to Dontell, DC, Chuck, Lou, Jason. We'll get to y'all. Keep them coming. Keep your comments as short as possible so we can get as many callers as we can on this Victory Monday. Indeed. Let me just give you one other thing real quickly. I mentioned the offense, and obviously when you score 45 points, you're going to get a lot of accolades for the offense, but let's not forget how important the defense was in this game, despite giving up a lot of yards and therefore a lot of points, right? I mean, I'm not here to tell you that they were great. I'm not here to tell you that they were perfect. I wouldn't lie to you, okay? But for them to force five turnovers, something we talked about throughout the week, right? Was that they had to create at least three takeaways. But we mentioned that Sunday night game in Houston a couple of times, which Detroit won. And Houston had five interceptions in that game and should have had a sixth. And yet still lost at home. Well, Mikey Sanders still had two. Quan Martin had one, very big one, a pick six, on a rush three, drop eight. Jeremy Chinn had the one at the end. And Dorrance Armstrong, don't forget about him. He forced the fumble on a sack early, which kind of sort of started to change the context of the game. So for whatever you want to say about this defense, and many of you have said it, those of you that live by the Bible of, what's that analytic that I hate?
DVOA.
DVOA. Those of you that live, sleep, eat, breathe, and crap DVOA, I've been telling you all year long, not to pay attention to DVOA. Will you listen to me now? Will you listen? Not to pay attention to DVOA? Because it did not freaking matter. The Commanders were outgained in this game 521 to 481. 521 yards on 68 plays, a 7.7 average, is an absurd amount. But against that juggernaut of an offense, you knew you were going to give up a ton of yards and a bunch of points. But all you had to do was stiffen up a couple of times. And I don't even think you needed the five turnovers, but you got them. You needed three at least, and you got five. Now, again, the last one, the game was over, whatever. So it was a legitimate four. But that's how you win football games. That's how you win football games. 301-230-0980. Let's go out to the calls and get at least one in here before the first trending alert. Let's jump to line two. Dontell and Frederick gets us going in the leadoff spot. What's up, Dontell? How are you?
Chris, my man, what's going on? What's happening? Man,
how
look,
are you,
I got to tell you, man. First, start this thing off, man. I just got to tell you something about the Detroit Lions. If you want to crown them, crown them. They are who they thought we were.
In the words of the late Denny Green, if you want to crown their ass, crown them.
Crown them.
Yeah. You know, there's no crowning right now, Dontell, but I will tell you this. I mean, it's impossible for you not, for me, I'll speak for myself, to not have a healthy, healthy, healthy amount of respect for the Detroit Lions. But I will tell you this. There's too much... And this drove me crazy early in the game with Cliff Kingsbury. There's a lot of this notion that, you know, in a football game, you can't just line up and beat somebody down and pound them into submission. And I understand the trick plays are awesome when they work. On the Jameson Williams backflip, double reverse, whatever, that rolls for 60, beautiful. But you know what? When you keep screwing with fate and temptation, you are going to get burnt for it. And that they did in that game, leading to one of those interceptions. And the onside kick, which, you know, again, I don't know how many people care about this. I thought it was one of the dumbest decisions in the world. And I said it in the moment as soon as they declared. So I wasn't just reacting to them not getting it. I thought it was a terrible, terrible decision by Dan Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, it was, if you ask me, it was, if you ask me. But I wanted to get to that point. Two things, actually. The DVOAs you've been talking about all year long, I agree with you 100%. You was absolutely right on that. So when people just go by that, I'm like, Chris is hitting this one on the head. But I'm saying the same thing about myself pre-draft, what I was saying about Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. The kid is a freak. He's just that good. He's been in all kinds of limelights. Nothing bothers him.
Yeah, he's stone cold.
Calm.
He's stone cold. He's got literally, I mean, that adage of ice water through the veins, I don't even know if he's got veins. I don't say that facetiously. I literally don't know if there's anything that bothers him.
It's not. But hey, last but not least, real quick, Chris, you said something about him going for that onside kick. You got to give him some respect. Look, he did not want to give that ball back to JD5.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you know what, Don?
Here's the problem. When you're in that spot, right, they're down 14. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're down 14. I understand you don't want to give the ball back to Jaden Daniels. But if you don't, because there's no more element of surprise to the onside kick, you have to execute it beyond perfectly. And by doing what they did with four timeouts left, three of their own and the 2-minute warning, by doing what they did, they essentially, Washington didn't take advantage of it, but they essentially gave Washington the ball with the opportunity to not only end the game by just holding on to it, by simply by scoring. Now, Washington did not, but if they scored another touchdown or if they kicked another field goal, you had no chance, zero chance.
Right.
Go out and play defense, man.
When it was happening, I agreed absolutely 100% with you. But then after it happened, I was like, well, he didn't even want to give it back to JD5.
Yeah. I understand that. Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, brother. Thank you. Congratulations to Dontell and as well every Commanders fan out there that has suffered so long. I know you guys sometimes think I'm against you. I'm not. You know, listen, I'm thrilled. I'm so honored to have been able to go and celebrate in that moment with all of you guys and to try and bring you my perspective and the social media of the touchdowns. I got lucky. They were all, not all, but right in front of me. I mean, I sat right near Adam Peters and Lance Newmark as they were celebrating. Got to be in the locker room. Got to interview Josh Harris. You'll hear it all coming up right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. First, a trending alert right here on this Victory Monday as the Commanders are heading to the NFC Championship game. Indeed, the Commanders are heading to Philadelphia Sunday afternoon, just past 3:00 at Lincoln Financial Field, a third matchup with the Philadelphia Eagles, who hung on for dear life and beat the Los Angeles Rams yesterday. Don't know the status of Jalen Hurts. Certainly he will be limited in practice, was banged up yesterday as well. Others, Quinyon Mitchell, banged up for the Eagles on top of everything else that they had to deal with. But when you have Saquon Barkley ripping off 78 and 62-yard touchdowns, down runs, you're okay. But the matchup is set 3:00 on Sunday afternoon, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders for right to go to the Super Bowl in New Orleans 13 days from right now. Should say, not 13 days, 20 days from right now, 20 days from right now. Tonight, it is the national championship in college football. It all ends in Atlanta between 7 seed 14-1 Notre Dame and 8 seed 13-2, Ohio State. 7:30 to kick off as the two Blue Blood schools get together for the right to crown a new college football champion. And from Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles with a big loss in free agency, and their loss is the Toronto Blue Jays in division gain. They've signed Anthony Santander to a 5-year, nearly $90 million deal, according to ESPN, and now other reports, deal pending a physical, as the Blue Jays finally land a big fish, made the American League All-Star team last year for the first time. Had 44 home runs, 102 RBI, 25 doubles in 155 games. And that's what's trending. All right, we're back with you on this NFC Divisional Playoff win, Motown Monday, as the Washington Commanders went to Motown and kicked the Lions in the teeth. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let me give you some numbers on Jaden Daniels. I'm thinking of Jalen Hurts, who's banged up, but did have a 44-yard touchdown run yesterday for a score before he was hurt. 44-yard touchdown run for Jalen Hurts off of an RPO pull. I should say off of a read option pull. Jaden Daniels on Saturday night. I think Kevin had these as well, so I just want to make mention. But went back and I double-checked the numbers through Next Gen Stats. 12 of 16 against the blitz. That's a 114.7 passer rating, plus 7% completion over expected. I don't know how they generate that, but whatever. That's Next Gen Stats. 12 of 16, a buck 91, a touchdown. That's the second most passing yards versus the blitz by a rookie in one game in the Next Gen Stats era, which I believe is from 2016 on. So, you know, 8 years or whatever it is. Under pressure, Jaden Daniels, 7 of 9, 109 yards, and a plus 17.6 CPOE percentage. That's completion percentage over expected. Over 2.5 seconds from time to throw, 10 of 16, a buck 72, a touchdown, plus 6.3 CPOE. Zero sacks, one false start by the offense, right? And when we talk about no turnovers, one punt, one false start, and that was on the first drive of the game. And when we talk about everything else, all the yardage, all the majestic throws, the fourth down conversions, the red zone prowess, making Detroit pay for their sins because of penalty, taking advantage of it, again, turning turnovers into points, all of that. It was not only a thing of beauty, but that game, that performance by everyone, not just Jaden Daniels, will, listen, will it live in the memory bank if they win a Super Bowl? It'll be part of the story. But whatever happens from here, that performance on Saturday night by the entire team, and it was not perfect, it was not flawless, that performance will never fade from our memories, I don't think. And I don't think it should, because it was awesome. And there's a huge part of it that I still haven't gotten to yet that I will. But first, I want to knock down a bunch of phone calls. And again, throughout the show, you'll hear from Jonathan Allen in the locker room. You'll hear from Austin Eckler in the locker room. You'll hear from Dante Fowler in the locker room Saturday night with me. And then you'll hear from Josh Harris, the Commander's owner, with Ben Standing. We somehow stalked him and asked him if he would talk, and he did. Very short. All of these interviews, very short, so don't go anywhere. We won't lose momentum. We'll splice them in, and then Jay Gruden will also join us live in the normal 3 o'clock Monday spot right here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Let's go to line 3. D.C. is in Jacksonville on a Victory Monday. D.C., how are you, pal?
Russell, I'm very well. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. Congratulations.
That's good. Thank you, man. I definitely appreciate it. Look, the performance, like you said, wasn't a perfect performance. But when you can't stop a team, you turn them over. And that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were missing earlier in the season. And I really think the adjustments that Joe Witt makes at halftime is so amazing. We came out in the beginning of this game playing the way we should. We can't stop the run, but the turnovers can cover that up because it gives more opportunities to the offense. And as you know, the ball control and ball protection that our offense plays with allows us to win games like this. And I just look forward for it to continue. And I know that 980 is going to be able to send you to the Super Bowl. And I look forward to you taking that young man that said his team has made him proud to go to the Super Bowl with you.
Well, brother, I appreciate that. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen from here. I'm just trying to think, you know, okay, let's make sure we get through this week and get to Philadelphia, and then we'll figure out everything else. So I'll just hope, and I'm not a big prayer, but I'll just hope and hope and hope and keep hoping that we have a reason to go to Philadelphia. But to your overall point, again, you know, the turnovers really obviously are the story. And again, I understand giving up 500 yards is not what you would ideally like. But in the first year of this organization's rebuild, reload, recalibration, whatever Dan Quinn wants to call it, to be able to win a game against them, the number one seed on the road, a team thought to be indestructible, to go out and win that game obviously by 14 shows, hey, yes, Jaden Daniels and the offense were awesome, and we know that, but the defense had a part in it too. And it didn't, like to your point, it didn't take until halftime for adjustments. Right from the very get-go, I love how they came out flying. Think about this. Zane Gonzalez kicked the ball out of bounds on the opening kickoff, gave Detroit, a team that you should not give any extra yards to, ball at the 40, and the Commanders' defense went three and out, and they were flying. Yeah. They were absolutely flying, including Dante Fowler on that second down run stop. They were absolutely flying. I know they won by 14, but that first drive, and I know they bent and got crushed on the second drive. That first drive cannot be forgotten, and neither kid could the third drive, because after the touchdown, when you think, oh no, here they go, they're getting the oil running through the engine, and they gave up some plays, then Dorrance Armstrong comes up with the sack and the forced fumble on the third drive.
That's a nice point too, Russell. You know, they say Dante Fowler's not good at setting the edge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're starting to see, I don't know, maybe they've been working more on their technique. Everybody is playing up right now. You know what I mean? And I look forward to it to continue, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I appreciate you, brother. Congrats again. I'll let you run on that so we can get to at least one more here before the break. Let's go to line six. Matt, Dennis in Hyattsville, it says he wants to yell at the Rooster. Go ahead, Dennis. Yell at me all you want.
Hey, Chris. Hey, listen, Chris. Listen, I'm not trying to yell at you, but I'm just saying. Couldn't you see that Detroit was ripe for the picking?
Oh, like, man, I wish I could have seen that. I wish I could have seen that. How did you see it?
Chris, because guess what? Unity is strength. And that's what Dan Quinn has brought to the organization. So you can see that they believe in themselves. They believe in Dan. And they doing it for the city. So I had no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So when I called and you were being like so scared, I was like, what's wrong with Chris? I mean, if it's a bit you're doing, just say that.
No, Dennis, I mean, really, and I remember you calling and getting mad at you, but it's not a bit. It wasn't a bit. Because you think, I mean, like to your point, right? And I understand brotherhood, confidence, belief, whatever, that does count. That does matter. But that doesn't win you games by yourself. I had no doubt that they were a little bit ripe for the picking on defense. Let me finish. I had no doubt that they were a little bit ripe for the picking on defense. But I did not see a scenario where they would score, 38 points on offense. I honestly did not see that. I thought, well, maybe 28 points on offense, maybe 31 on offense. That's still a lot of points. I did not see where they would score 38 points on offense and 45 total. So my bad. My crystal ball was not clear like yours was.
Yeah, and also, Chris, like, this year's Commanders team is not Uncle Dan's team. Like, forget that memory. Yeah. Like, start thinking like we can win any game, anytime, anywhere, and spread that message over the radio.
I hear you.
We're fans, and we want that positive for us. So, Chris, come
Dennis,
on, man.
I got something for you coming later on this week, okay? I got something for you coming up later on this week, all right? You just stay tuned, and you believe in the Rooster, man. You believe in the Rooster just like you believe in your Commanders, okay? I will not let you down again. I appreciate you, Dennis. Thanks
all
for being
Chris,
a good sport.
I appreciate-
Thanks for listening. I appreciate you. All right, we'll get to Jason and Laurel, Chuck in South Carolina. We'll get to Kyle in D.C. We'll get to Lou. We'll get to you. 301-230-0980. Stay tuned on a Victory Monday. The Commanders are going to the NFC Championship game. And guess what, baby? For those of you not joining us at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, listen right here on the Team 980 on Sunday afternoon. That's right. We have the call from Westwood One Sports on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, back with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app on this Victory Motown Monday as, again, the Commanders went to Motown and kicked the Lions' ass to advance to the NFC Championship game. And, again, don't forget the defense, which, yes, allowed 500 yards, and, yes, people are not forgetting because of the turnovers. A, they didn't need all five of them, one. Two, don't forget about what happened in the first three drives of the game as well. One was a turnover, but one was a three and out after Zane Gonzalez gave the Detroit Lions a gift. And even though you won the game by 14, it could have been a very different script if not for what happened in the first quarter. In the first quarter, despite giving up and getting carved up for a big touchdown drive on the second drive, what happened on the first and the third drive, just as important as well. All right, let's grab a call or two here before the top of the hour. Again, Jay Gruden coming up live at 3 o'clock in his normal spot. You'll hear from Josh Harris, Dante Fowler, Austin Eckler, and Jonathan Allen. All of my conversations in the locker room in Detroit on Saturday. I was, you know, thrilled, obviously, to be able to pull that off and be there and provide coverage for both 106.7 and the Team 980. Let's get to line four. Chuck is in South Carolina on the Odyssey app. Chuck, go right ahead. How are you? Congratulations, pal.
Hey, Chris. I want to start out by saying how grateful I am for my team and how they played Saturday night. Win, lose, or draw, I was just thankful. Also, I just want to say I want to comment on the referees. Well, not this ain't even about the referees. I just want to say that I wish Dan Quinn would take not a timeout, but just for once, just for a second, just ask for a measurement, because Crowder definitely got that first down.
I am with you. I am with you on that. I watched it again this morning. I thought live he had it. I was shocked. I was shocked that they didn't challenge it, that there wasn't, you know, what is this bleeping replay assist for if you can't look at something like that?
Right, which means that fourth down play never happened.
Yes, correct.
And then also I want to comment on one other thing, and then I'll get off. And I appreciate Frankie Louvoux for smashing Jared Goff, and I feel like the reason why he did that is the fact because they got away with a late hit on our quarterback out of bounds. And they never threw the flag. Yeah. And I felt like that's the reason why he did that. But either way, man, also, and I'm proud of the way they covered those kicks. Like, we kicked the ball off, and my special team went down there and smashed them in the mouth, man.
Attaboy.
You see how they covered those kicks? So I'm just proud of this team, man. I'm proud of the veteran leaderships on offense and defense. And, man, we're going to go to Philly. And we've already made our reservations for New Orleans. So, hey, see y'all in the Super Bowl.
I love it. I love the confidence. Good call, as always. Thank you, Chuck. Yes, appreciate you. Congratulations. 301-230-0980. All right, I tell you what we're going to do. To stay on clock, to stay on target, we're going to take a quick timeout. You know we don't have long commercial breaks. We're going to start off hour number two with Kyle, then Jason, then Lou, and you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you can't get through, you don't want to hold on. The old X thing at WrestleMania 621. I'll try and pick through a bunch of those as soon as we can. We've got a lot of quick interviews. Again, quick interviews coming up from the locker room and including Josh Harris, all in the 2 o'clock hour and the 3 o'clock hour as well. And Jay Gruden live with you over the next 2 hours right here on your home for the NFC Championship game. That's right. You can listen to the Commanders try and advance to Super Bowl 59 right here Sunday at 3 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.